able to meet together each Sunday and hear the Word of God proclaimed. And if one sermon isn't enough, or two, you can go online to Sermon Audio and download sermons to your heart's content. We can easily find access to scriptures and faithful teachings online, and we can get nourishment from God's Word in that way. So it's interesting that at the same time as society has such abundant access to the Word of God, there almost seems to be a decline in the way that Christians apply it to their lives. It seems like the more opportunities we have to hear God's Word, the less we take advantage of them. And so this afternoon we're continuing in this series through James, where we answer the question, what does genuine faith look like? And today we're continuing in James chapter 1. And James wants us to understand that genuine faith, where it's present, there is evidence seen in the obedience to God's word. So we'll read from James, James chapter 1, we'll read from verses 19 to the end of the chapter. And this is on page 1199. Hearing and doing the word. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So in the previous sermon in the series, and looking at what genuine faith looks like, we saw at the beginning of chapter 1 that genuine faith rejoices in trials, not because trials are fun, but because we know that God is at work in his accomplishing his purposes in us. But now he moves on from the issue of trials to the Word of God, and specifically how faith is seen in response to the Word of God. And as I said, James understands that genuine faith shows itself in terms of obedience. Notice down in verse 21, he says that when we are living a life of genuine faith, we must receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The word receive is the first step of the process for the believer when we have contact with the word of God. The word receive means to embrace fully, to take that which has been revealed to us in God's word. It's used in the book of Acts to describe the Bereans, who were commended because they received the word with eagerness and examined all the scriptures. And so in the first step of responding to the word of God is by receiving it, taking it, and embracing that which the word of God says, and no matter what the word of God says. Now in verses 19 to 20, he gives us three characteristics of the one who receives the word properly. The first thing is we need to be quick to hear. Now in the first century, you didn't take your Bible, or obviously your Bible app with you to the worship service because you didn't own a Bible. The way that you received the Word of God in the first century was you listened to what if the congregation was fortunate enough to have an entire set of all the scrolls of the Old Testament, and someone would read the Word of God to you. Or perhaps later you would read a letter from Paul and the congregation would listen to it. And so the point he's making here is that we need to be quick to hear whenever God speaks to us today. Whenever we come into contact with the Word of God, we need to be quick to hear. But secondly, as well as that, you are to be slow to speak. How do we speak when we hear the Word of God? Well, have you ever seen in your own experience, in yourself perhaps, or someone else, someone who doesn't like what God's Word has to say? Today there are a lot of people who want to reinterpret things that Scripture says because they don't like what it says. The chief doctrine that people react to in a negative way is the doctrine of hell. It's not a doctrine that we like. It's a doctrine that talks about the judgment upon people that we love. And so often there's a reinterpretation speaking against that which Scripture has made clear. But worse than that is the next point that James makes. Not only to speak against that, but we need to be slow to anger. When we come into contact with the Word of God, if you've been in church and the Word of God just doesn't sit well with you, perhaps the Word of God impacts us and there are times that it impacts us in a negative way because we don't like what it says. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. We all have passages that we struggle with and doctrines that we wish would work out perhaps in a different way. But James's concern is someone that goes even further than perhaps making a face in the middle of a sermon. He's talking about someone who becomes angry at God. How dare God say that? How dare he tell me that that's what I need to do? And a deep-seated bitterness and anger can swell up in the heart of someone who hears the Word of God and becomes angry at what God says. The person who has genuine faith, it doesn't mean that you don't struggle with what God says. But the person of genuine faith is ready and willing to receive the Word of God because God has said it. And even when I don't like what God says, I'm willing to listen, to receive, to not become angry, but to conform my will to what the Word says, rather than demanding that the Word conform to my preferences. And so the first step of genuine faith as we interact with God's Word is receiving the Word of God with the right attitude. But then James goes on in verses 22 through 25 to draw a contrast. You see, the believer not only hears the Word of God, but the believer does God's Word. So here we see a contrast that he makes between those who merely hear the Word of God and those who do the Word of God. James says that those who merely hear God's Word are not showing evidence of genuine faith. And he tells us about both groups of people. In verses 22 and 23, we see the example of the hearer, where the hearer is the one who listens to God's word, as he hears the Word of God, and perhaps they believe they have. Perhaps it's because they believe they have an obligation to read the Bible or attend worship. The hearer is someone who hears what God has to say, and they think that's all that's required. I followed my Bible reading on schedule. I followed the scripture readings in the prayer calendar. I've read my table talks. I've come to church because I know that's what God wants me to do. Yet it makes no impact if hearing is all that I'm doing. The example of the hearer is the one who looks in the mirror, as we see in verse 23. When we're heading out the door and we look at the mirror, we want to, you know, make sure that we have hair that's straight, if we have hair, or our collars in place. We want to make sure that we're presentable to the world. The Word of God functions as a mirror, but It's a real mirror. It shows every fact. And when we open God's word and we begin to read it, perhaps you've had this experience yourself. You're going along and you're reading and suddenly, you know, you see yourself being talked about. And it makes you uncomfortable. Because it reveals your heart and it reveals who you are. The hearer looks at that passage and says, yeah, you know, that's interesting, you know. Yeah, I'll remember that. But then they move on. They move on to the rest of their day, the next thing on their agenda, and it makes no impact to their lives whatsoever. James is saying that's a dangerous life because it's a life of deception. You're deceiving yourself and believing that you're merely going through the motion of having contact with the Word of God, as if that's something that makes you spiritual and acceptable to the Lord. But he wants us to understand that that's not at all what God has in mind. Notice in verse 25, he says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." The word "look" in verse 25 is a word that has the idea of looking with intensity, not just a quick glance at something. It's interesting, it's the word used to describe both Mary Magdalene and Peter when they go into the tomb to look for Jesus. They run to the tomb and they stoop down and they're looking for him. And it's not just he's not there. It's not a quick glance. No, but it's a picture of intensity. The body's got to be in here somewhere. Where is it? They keep on looking, and that's the picture that James uses. When looking at God's word, it's not merely a quick glance at what God's word has to say, but there's a studiousness and intensity, a desire to understand what God is saying. And so the difference between the hearer and the doer is not just the way that they receive God's word, but it's also the way in which they respond to God's word. Because the hearer does not respond. But the doer takes the word of God and makes adjustments to life so that they're able to see, they're able to do what God has set before them. So what does such a response look like? An example is found back at verse 21. "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Where it says, "putting away your sin," this is wonderful imagery used elsewhere in scriptures. It's used in the New Testament to talk about the process of taking off your dirty clothes. And so, like taking off your dirty clothes, you put off your sin in response to the word of God. You're reading the Word of God for devotions one morning and you suddenly realize, as you're looking into that mirror of God's Word, you know, I've got a coveting heart. I'm always wanting more. God's Word says I'm not to covet. But covetousness is found in my heart. The hearer, in their response, is to simply say, okay, but the doer will examine their heart. Where covetousness is found, their response is one of repentance. And then not only that, but a determination by God's grace to be content with what God has given them. Rather than coveting that holiday that someone else is having, it's going to be a focus on the blessings of God with a heart of thankfulness. You see, you're not done with the Word of God until you've determined how to respond to the Word of God. And you're not done with the application of the Word until you've determined what application is there for you. That means you don't quickly read through the first or the couple of chapters for your Bible reading of the day and close your Bible and move on. You pause and you think. You ask yourself, what's God saying to me? And then you pray for grace to be able to do that which God calls you to do in the passage that you've read. That's what a doer looks like. And so that is why James says genuine faith is seen not in the person who merely listens or hears the word of God, but in the person who hears it and then receives it. And then James moves to give us three examples of what genuine faith looks like in verses 26 and 27. Now, these three listed here are not the only examples, we should note, but they do come up again in the book of James. And we're going to go through them now. Perhaps they're repeated by James because the original audience may have been struggling with the rituals of early Christianity. And perhaps in doing so, they're fooling themselves because they're ignoring the key areas of faith that God says genuine faith reflects. So number one who has genuine faith is someone who bridles his tongue, as we see in verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So often in church, we think that people who talk the most must be the most spiritually mature. I mean, they have answers every time something comes up. They're never shy about sharing it with all of us. They seem to be a fountain of information. James says, spiritual maturity is more in what you don't say than in what you do say. The person with a genuine faith who applies the word of God is the person who may have things to say, but is slow to say it. Bridles his tongue is the analogy of using reins to slow the horse down, to bring the horse under control. When we have genuine faith, it's deeply impacted in our lives. We don't have to be the person with the answer every time. We don't have to be that person that's always talking because we bridle our tongue. And there are other practical examples of holding your tongue. You bridle your tongue when you refuse to gossip, or you refuse to cut someone down, even if it's an easy thing to do, or an easy conversation to have. You bridle your tongue when you refuse to talk about someone behind their back. Genuine faith is seen in applying the word of God by being serious about our language and serious about our use of our tongues. The second evidence of genuine faith he gives us is in verse 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Throughout the Old Testament, God reveals himself as a God who has extraordinary care for people who cannot protect themselves. Over and over again, Israel is warned that one of the evidences of covenant unfaithfulness is disregarding widows and orphans. These were people who had no one to care for them. Certainly, unlike today, there were no government programs to provide relief for them. They were dependent on righteous judges who would see that righteousness was shown towards them. And they were dependent on farmers who were commanded by God to leave areas of their crops so widows and orphans could reap and gather food for themselves. God says this is one of the evidences of a genuine faith among the covenant people, that we share his concern for these kinds of people. Today we ought to rejoice that the care of widows and orphans is being done in many ways, and we ought to rejoice that widows and widowers and orphans are able to receive the help that they need and not be subject to abject poverty, like many in the first century and the end of the Old Testament time. As individuals and as a church, we show the genuineness of our faith as we have concern for those whom God is concerned for. This is part of the work that our deacons have within our congregation, to extend the love of God and the love of Christ to people who are in this kind of situation, to do so in Christ's name and in our name. But we can't just say that this is the responsibility of the deacons. Is there a widow that lives on your block? Is there someone that you can be friends with and see that they're cared for if they're unable to help themselves? James says this is what genuine faith looks like. It looks like sharing God's concern and God's mercy. But the final aspect of genuine faith in verse 27, at the end of the verse, is to keep oneself unstained from the world. And the word world here is often used in Scripture to describe a system that is in opposition to God. James is not saying that we need to remain apart from unbelievers. He's saying we must remain apart from the system that has values that are contrary to the Word of God. The doers are those who are committed to take the Word of God, to receive it, and to apply it to their lives. They're going to have a life that's different from the world. They're not going to live in such a way that the world's values and thinking stains them in the sense of coming into our lives and taking them away from what Scripture says and commands. We live in an age where almost every day there emerges some new counterculture. They spread very quickly. But Christians ought to be the greatest counterculture. In this world today, we should be standing out as bright lights in the midst of a dark world consumed with values and ideas that are completely contrary to the Word of God. And this is seen when the Word of God has the greatest impact in our lives, where what we read and what we apply and what we say we believe, when this impacts us in what we do and how we live. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is talking about how people need to apply his teachings, the scripture that we read just before, Jesus is giving us directions for how we are to live as people of the kingdom of God. And he comes with this contrast of a wise man building a house on the rock and a foolish man building a house on the sand. And the picture here is stark. Let's not mistake this for a story about a man who can simply see his house be washed away and just rebuild it. No. Jesus says those who merely hear his word and don't act upon what the word of God says will face doom. They face eternal doom. Because this picture of a house that once a wind came falls apart, it's a picture of those who are not able to stand before God in judgment. They may know Bible facts, but they're not doing them. The Bible says, but there are those who not only hear, those who do. And those people, those doers, are those whose lives are founded on the rock of the Word of God. They will be sustained and be kept by God. Now, if what I'm saying this evening reminds you of yourself, if what I'm saying makes you wonder, am I just a hearer? Am I not a doer? I've got good news for you. Because God says, I take hearers and I transform them. When they repent by God's grace to make a determination to do what he says. Let's also not mistake what James is saying here. No one can be saved because they do the word of God. We're not saved because of our obedience. Rather, our salvation is always based on a recognition of how much we fail and acknowledging and confessing that sin and entrusting ourselves to Christ alone. But what the Bible tells us is we know that we've been transformed because genuine faith produces obedience. And we see the evidence of God working in our lives when we desire to do what he tells us to do. Never perfectly. Let's not fool ourselves. We could never perfectly do that. But by God's grace, to see more and more that as we have contact with the Word of God, we can respond to what the Word of God says, that we can respond in faith to do what He commands us, because this is our heart's desire, to please Him, to live for His glory by His grace. So people, let's be doers of the Word. Let's live a life of applying God's Word in all areas of our lives for His glory. Let's pray. Father, Your Word is powerful. It cuts us to the core. There are days that it lifts us and encourages us and sets direction for us. But there are days also when it brings us down because we see the reality of how much we so often fall short. And Father, as we look into the mirror of Your Word, we thank You for both. Father, we pray that You would forgive us for so often quickly skimming through Your Word without giving a thought as to what we would do in response. Father, grant us the joy of knowing You and loving Your Word, of desiring to conform our lives according to Your Word in all areas. Father, some of us have been living as hearers, and we ask for Your Spirit to work in us, to convict our hearts, to cause us to repent. And for all of us, Lord, help us to recognize that it is a privilege to conform ourselves to Your likeness and according to Your Word. Grant us the Spirit's enabling to do this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.